This is an interview with Beatrice Kettle.
Oui.
For the Mill Workers Oral History Project on March 22nd, 2005, in Lewiston, Maine. I'm Marshall Carpell interviewing. Can you please state your full name, including maiden name, and spell it?
Okay. My name is Beatrice C. Karen. You want me to spell it or what?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Okay. B-E-A-T-R-I-C-E. My middle name is C. Faclucci, my maiden name, C-L-O-U-T-I-E-R. And my married name is Karen, C-A-R-O-N.
Hi. Well, actually, just to get us started here, just a little bit of background stuff. Where were you born and where were you raised?
In Lewiston. Okay. I was born on Lincoln Street, and then they used to have a nanny or a lady that took, you know, that helped the doctor. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So, I was born on a Sunday. At 9 o'clock in the morning.
What were your parents' names? Were they from around here?
Oh, they came from Canada. Yeah. So they both did. So they met over here in Lewiston. My father was, you know, they used to call those All Saints, you know, Saint Vital. And that's about 175 miles from here. And then my mom came from River of the Lou, or whatever you call it. It's like a dog, you know. It looks like a dog, but it's a. How do you say? Rivière du Loup. What's that animal?
Qu'est-ce que c'est le mot de pensée?
Why you have to know that? That's
no, he's Canada. Asking me where our parents came from.
Well, Canada, that's all.
Mais qu'est-ce que c'est le mot en français?
Hein?
Qu'est-ce que c'est le mot en français?
What's
the word in French?
Oh, it's Canadian French, but my dad came from France, and most of them, they did too, you know, like they were, came from boats and stuff like that, and his folks too. Like his dad came about the same place as my mom, and they met here in Lewiston. Yeah. So I was born here.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was this place like that far back? Like the ethnic community? What?
Oh, yeah. Well, you see, like those people came from Canada. So there was mills and shoe shop and all this stuff. So that's why they came here, to make a little money when they go back on their farm. So, you know, they could buy stock and this and that. So that's why they came here, to make money.
Oh.
And most of them left. My mom didn't leave and my dad didn't leave because, you know, they met each other and they got married. And the rest of the family, they all went back. And on my mom's side, there's only 2 out of 21. There was 3 born here from my mother, you know. Her maiden name was Karen, too. And her mother's name was Cody. It was so French, right? So they went back. But they left most of the oldest one, you know, like on the farm, you know, for the animals and whatever, you know. And they had gardens, like on my dad's side. They had maple syrup, so you heard about maple syrup, right? A lot of process and stuff. And they're in the parliament, you know, their picture, because they make good syrup and stuff, so they're right there, and it's going to stay there for you, you know, forever, I guess, yeah.
Like, what was the area around here like back when you were growing up? Like, what were the people
there
like?
It was a lot of French people, Canadian, you know, French people, and there was some, you know, that just talk English, you know. So, and, you know, it wasn't too bad for me, but my folks, they found it a little harder, you know, because they could hardly speak English. And some of the supervisors, they didn't talk French, you know. So, you know, it made it kind of hard, you know. Yeah.
I imagine.
Yeah.
So just
Because that's why they call us the Maniacs. You know the team, the hockey team that plays here? Maniacs. We're Maniacs.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, because we were from Canada, most of us, you know. My folks, I mean, you know, so.
So just jumping right into your time at the mill, you were pointing out some of the pictures here. Obviously, we can't get those on the tape, but if you could just use them to sort of go through, like, what it is you did at the mill. I see you worked there for 48 years.
Oh, yeah.
Goodness.
Jerry? Yeah, so, well, they call me, I was 63 when I retired. And then, you know, I retired. So then, I was 67, then they called me back. And I worked part-time because, I was starting on Social Security. So I worked part-time over there. Boy, I did all kinds of stuff. They hired me as, an inspector mender. I used to fix bedspread and stuff, or take off the fringe or if they bleached it. Or, you know, like they were antique. They put it snow white. And then they had colors, the bleachery at the dye house. Well, we'd send them and they had orders for, like JCPenney, Sears Roebuck, they had all kinds of these companies that would buy from us, you know. Yeah, so.
But what did you do when you started there? When I started there? All the way through, like right from the beginning.
Okay. When I turned 16 in June, in July, I went. You know, my dad brought me over. I was kind of shy, so anyway. And he says, she'd like to have a job. So they says, okay. So they said, well, she'll be on second shift. I says, fine. So I liked it because I was only 16 and I wasn't going out with boys or anything at the time. But now, anyway. So I signed up and stuff. And then they put me on second shift. In winding and twisting, they call it. And I used to doff, like there were bobbins. You'll see that at, you know, at the mill.
Right.
They show different bobbins. And we used to, like me, I had like 60 of them, or, you know, set up. And then I had thread that would come from up there. And then I used to fix it, you know, machine for it. To go, you know, and then when it was full, I put it on they call it a cheese thing, about this square, and I could put about 60, and then I'd take it off, this guy would come around, take it off and spray it, because, you know, rayon, it sort of comes down, so it was like a starch, so it would hold the thread, so it wouldn't get all untangled. Yeah, and then they'd bring it to this other department.
I'm still a little confused about what it is you're doing with the threads. Can you describe that a little bit more?
Oh.
Because I don't have an image in my head of what
you're
talking
okay.
About.
It was like a machine, you know, and instead of having the bobbins like this, they had bobbins on the side like that.
What was the machine for? Was it weaving?
Electricity. Yeah, no, it was just to twist the thread on the bobbin.
Got it.
Okay, and I had to take care of two sides, but it wasn't, you know, about, well, there used to be 10 on each side, and it wasn't piecework, you know, I didn't have to rush, you know. I did my job and watch if it break, then I would have a little, like a gun, something like that, and it would make a knot, so it wouldn't, you know, come apart, because once they started weaving in the weave room, well, you know, it would, they wouldn't, you know, the weaver, it would stop it, you know. If there's some thread that breaks, it stops automatically. But I didn't work in that apartment.
Okay.
Yeah, so the winding room, yeah. So, and then it went someplace else.
So I understand that the thread ends up on the spool as, you know,
yeah,
Barbara.
Yeah.
But what was it that you were actually, were you sort of like if it were yarn,
yes.
Were you spinning it together into thread? Like, what was it that turns into the thread?
Well, like me, there was like they call it a card room, and there were the people that were doing whatever we needed, you know? Like if it was cotton, different, you know, size and everything, you know, they'd say, well, the supervisor would take care of it. They'd say, well, I need so much of those to do so many bedspread, or like rayon, it was tablecloth, you know, mostly tablecloths. They had different size, different colors and stuff. And, you know, so, it, you know, after, well, it was like in the card room first, okay? And then it would come in the winding room. That's when, you know,
and so what does it look, what does it look like when it gets there? Is it cloth? Is it lumps?
Yeah, well, in the card room, I never worked there, but, you know, it was like cotton, mm-hmm. you know? And then it would go like in a brown barrel, and then it would come up, and then it would twist. Then it would make the strings the size that they needed.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the strings came to you.
And
you
then it came to me, it was finished, you know, I mean, it was thread ready, but, you know, I had to take one of those spools put it down, and then I had to, you know, tie it like, you know, and then it would spin, you know.
Right.
Like there was a little, in another apartment, I worked there too, and somebody bumped me off. There was a union, right? So if the work was going slow and everything, then they'd bump the youngest girl. So I was the youngest girl, so they'd bump me. Mm-hmm. So they put me on something else. You know, that was thread. It was so fine that we doffed it, you know, like it took a day, you know, like three shifts. That, you know, would doff it. And there was a little traveler and stuff, you know, and it went up and down like, well, it turned like this, so it would fit the bobbin.
Right.
And some of them would call them cheese or whatever. It depends, you know. Like, the card room would make that, but it would be really thick, like, you know, or it would be like a cotton ball, but, you know, straight out. Then it would go, then it would spin. That's why they call it spinning room. And the winding room is the same thing, you
okay.
know. Yeah.
That makes sense.
And then if they had colors, well, they'd put like a chart for different colors that's going to be dyed, you know, like blue, pink, red, or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you started there.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned that you got bumped off because of the union. What happened after that?
After that, they started... You know, it was slow, you know, in that department. I used to work on the third floor, so I had to go up the stairs. And then I was laid off. I was laid off for a good 6 months, so I went to look for other jobs. And then I went to work a few weeks in the shoe shop. In the meantime, I had to report unemployment, you know, so I'd give a little check. Them days, we didn't make that much money. We had about 75 cents an hour. Yeah, so anyway. So I went unemployment, and then they called me back, and then I started in the packing and shipping.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So then I worked there all, you know, till I started in that department. Well, they threw me out when I was 17, because I was underage, because I was working on machineries. So it was against the law, you know. So that was in 1947. So when I went back in 1949, then, you know, I was 18. So when I was 18, then I went back again in July, you know, because my birthday was in June. So then I stayed just a little bit. That lady bumped me there. The steward, and she could take over whichever job she liked better, you know. So anyway, so then they called me in the packing and shipping since 1949 to I work all the other years in the packing and shipping. Yeah.
What sort of things did you do there?
Packing and shipping. Well, we used to bundle. At the beginning, you know, when I started working, I was a 34th bundler. So there was quite a few. So anyway, they had different papers for different style, you know, different company. JCPenney was dark blue, like a GSA was brown paper. That's the government. And then the second were green, and then the first quality, it said Bates on it, and then I used to we had like a lady that would serve us, and she gave us a ticket to put on the, that was after, you know, the cloth room and everything. So a bundler is finished work, you know, ready to ship out. So then we had a table. Oh, I think it shows here. Yeah, we had like a table like this here. And then at the end of the table, there was a knife sticking out. And we used to cut the thread with string, you know. And then before that, they used to make their own glue. So sometimes if you kept it a few days, it stunk. So anyway, I used to take the ticket and, you know, press a little bit on it and put it on the spread, and then I finished tying my bundle. And we used to, like a, we used to call it trucks. It was flat trucks with four posts. So we used to stack them, you know. And then this lady, she'd give us an order to say how many she needed for that order. So we'd put it on the truck. Then she put it on the scale. There was a big scale there on the floor. She'd weigh it, and she knew how much, you know, what she needed for her order, how much it weighed. And then she pushed the truck to the guys. They used to pack them. That's why they call it packing and shipping. So then it went, you know, the guys would send them in the chute. But eventually, it was all, you know, I don't know what to call it, automatic, you know, like on rolls and stuff. It would go down. We used to be on the, well, it was in the cellar, but we were on this, it was a cellar, but there was another floor, like the cloth room, and then the shipping room was down on that side. So, and then I used to do, you know, different things for that, bundling. Then it went to plastic. Box work first, you know, like we used to bundle with the paper, and then box work. And we only had two sizes. And we had Snow White and Antique. We had twins and full, double. That's all. And then after a while
these are bedspreads?
Yeah, bedspread. Let's say the Washington, okay? Mm-hmm. Okay. So we had just two sizes at the beginning. And then gradually, you know, as the year went on, we had different colors. Well, mostly the Washington, it was antique and Snow White. They called it antique. It was like a beige. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we used to put them in boxes, and the box was stamped already, twin or full, you know, double. So that's the boxes here. And we used to put a tissue paper inside the box, and then we'd put a certificate, you know, it was guaranteed. And then we put the other ticket on top, you know, it was a guarantee. Yeah.
You mentioned in the actual area that there were a lot of Quebecois people who would come down, a lot of people from Canada, things like that. Were there any conflicts between the different ethnic groups that were there? You know, people that were already here, people that had been moving in, people who were coming in and taking work, or people who had already had work here, things like that.
No, just like me there, I came from another department, okay? So they needed a lot of bundlers, you know, to ship them, you know, the spread and stuff. And so, actually, I was upstairs for a few years, right after the 20. So I got some seniority. So these people that, you know, you had to sign for the job, because, you know, union, huh? So we had to sign for the job, but I already had signed upstairs where I worked. And since the work, you know, there was hardly any work up there for me, they put me downstairs. And all the group, like, I was a 34th girl, but there was like 10, 15 others, they weren't there that long. So I sort of came in at the same time as them. So I went ahead of them. And so one lady quit. She says, you're not supposed to. I says, hey, that's the rules, right? if you have seniority and stuff, so.
But not so much inside the mill, but in the actual community that where people were living, like people coming down from Canada versus people who were already here, other people that were immigrating.
Yeah.
Is there any sort of conflict going on between people?
Not that much, you know. Like, sometimes the supervisor would give the woman a hard time.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, actually, I'm doing this interview for a gender course, so I'm very interested in the relations between the genders in the mills.
Yeah. Take advantage of the woman.
Was that actually something that happened a lot? I'd heard that was
well, I know of a fact, my mom.
Goodness.
Yeah, so that's why she wanted to quit. She was 17 when she first started at the mill. Well, she was there 48 years too at the hill.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're mill workers. Not my dad. My dad had, you know, he was working in shoe shop, and then you work for a lumber company, and then he owned his own store, grocery store, on Savannah Street, where the Black Shark is there.
I don't know the area that well.
Yeah, you don't know.
I've only been in town for a couple months.
There when it's on the right hand side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but it wasn't too bad, really, you know. But yeah, some of the girls we were working with, you know, well, we saw the mix, you know, when we're talking, half French and half English, you know. And they'd say, talk English. You know, there was Irish people.
Also, there were Irish immigrants as well.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
No conflict there as well?
No. No, I mean, you know, got along pretty good. I like the place anyway, you know, and I try to get along with everybody. You know, I mean, it makes it easier on the person. And if you like your job and the people, that's half of the battle, right? Yeah. So I get along pretty good, you know, with the people. Most of the people. All of them, really.
Really?
I just, one girl once I tore her off. I says, gee, I says, you should change your attitude. She looked at me, she was shocked. I says, you work at Burger King? And I says, you know, part time. And I says, if you talk like that with the people, I says, gee, I says, you're gonna lose your job. My God, she changed and everything. When they sent me on second shift, when I was carrying my son there, she says, B, I'll give you a ride home. I go right by your house. That was it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've heard similar things from the other people that I've interviewed that.
Yeah.
I mean, so when you work with something next to somebody for that long, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, it makes it hard, you know what I mean? Yeah. Sometimes they want to try to take advantage of you, you know what I mean? But if it work, you know.
Well, yeah. Actually, was there a lot of that going on to get a different job or to get better working conditions or anything like that?
Well, some of them, you know, I was working with this, she was almost blind. So anyway, we were Polly then, you know. Then it was Polly, after my daughter was born. So anyway, we used to, and when I came back having my son, I used to, you know, it was standing machine-like, and then we had those flat tracks like I was telling you about, and the girl, we change every 4 hours, you know. One would take the spread, the girls in back of us, they used to put the spread in the bag, plastic bag, and then and the tickets, and then we'd go like this, and it would seal. And the other girl would put it on a track. Her name was Doris. She says, Pete, there must be a good work coming. She says, they're going fast, she said. I says, no, I don't want it. She says, look. It was funny.
who got what jobs? I know that there was a lot of gender segregation with that sort of thing, that the guys would get one type of job and the ladies would get another type of job.
Yeah.
Were there any jobs that were not specific like that, that anybody could do? Or that anybody did end up doing?
Yeah. Well, we didn't really, you know, like the guys would pack, you know, and ship and stuff, you know, that's fine with me. You know, it was fine with me.
Well, of course.
Yeah. So
I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Yeah, no, but I mean, it wasn't too much, you know, because once we had a young man. He was going to Bates College, and he was colored, right? And he became our supervisor.
Really?
Oh, yeah, he was smart. real smart. Yeah. He still lives around here. He's married with a white girl, and I think he lives in Portland. But he was a nice guy.
So there weren't any jobs that either men or women could do? It was either you did one job or another?
Not that much, no. I guess, you know, like the men, they were paid better.
Really?
Better salary than we did. Mm-hmm. You know, but we do the hard work.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, like, you know, different things.
And yeah. So the men tend to be the supervisors.
Yeah. Well, we had a couple of girl supervisors. They were fine, you know, yeah. But as soon, let's say if you have a job, let's say like in the wheat room, good paying jobs, right? And then they'd ask a woman to be a supervisor. Okay, let's say she's a year working as a supervisor. Then she loses all her seniority. And then, if they don't feel they need her, out she goes, she can't say anything. So before the year is done, either she go back on her job.
So was that the case every time anybody switched jobs? Or just when women became supervisors?
Yeah, well, no, the men was the same thing, you know, I mean, like in the, you know, that's working, your supervisors, yeah, there was their, you know, thing.
So whenever anybody became a supervisor, if they didn't last...
If they had a nice job or everything, you know, so it was a chance they were taking, really. Like, it was mostly like at the end there, you know, like in the 90s, you know, when it started to go down and they hardly had any money, this and that, and, you know, they were having a hard time to keep it up.
And would you lose seniority if you switched from one job to another but not to be a supervisor?
Well...
Like if you went from a weaving room to a packing room, would you lose seniority?
Yeah, like you couldn't go in another department. Let's say I'd like to stitch. That's a stitcher's job, right? Like me, I was a bundler. And because I was older in seniority, like the mill seniority they call it, I couldn't go and go get that girl's job, you know, if I wanted to stitch. No.
So you couldn't, no.
No, because it's room seniority. So that was good.
So they
try to do that in one girl, and this lady, the union lady, she was with the other girl. I says, that's not right. I says, that's her job. She's been working 5 years on that job, Inspector Mender. And I says, you mean to tell me if I go and bump her off? That's not right. So I says, even though I have mill seniority, I can't bump her. She's been on that job before I did.
So seniority within your job is more important than seniority within the mill?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because the mill, okay, like I lost my job because they closed my job at the end there. So I had signed for Inspector Mender. I mean, on the perch, yeah. It was a perch, and we inspect the material and try to fix it. Then he'd go and have it wash or whatever. So that's the girl there. She was there 5 years. And then when I signed for the job, and when I was laid off, they needed some other girls, so they called me because I had mill seniority, even though other people were, you know, so they took me. So then she wanted me to bump her off. I says, no. I says, that's not right. She's been on that job, I says, all these years, 5 years. She used to work with me. And I says, that's not right. So we had to go to the union, and I fought for that girl. You know, I mean, hey, fair is fair, you know. I wouldn't have liked that. Well, that lady, the steward, she bumped me off. Well, nothing I could do because, you know, they had to keep the person, you know, a steward, that in the union.
I don't know what a steward is.
Yeah, it's the union, you know, like we had FFL and CIO, okay, at the time. Now it's something else, you know, but anyway, so when she didn't have any work on her job, she could bump me. But anybody else, they couldn't.
But who is a steward? Is a steward somebody that works within the union?
That's, yeah, they work for the union.
Okay.
And they get paid just at the end of the year.
Understand. Okay.
Yeah, the union, you know, like a... Like at, well, you know, Bad Iron Work or those places, you know.
But yeah. I understand the union, I just don't know what the title means within the context of the union.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Yeah.
So how did that situation turn out? The one where you defended the other girl?
I was right.
That's how it ended up?
Yeah.
She ended up keeping her job?
She was surprised, you know, because I don't think they asked her to go to that meeting. So I says, that's not right.
Did that sort of thing ever happen to men as well?
Yeah, so I mean, hey, she was so surprised when I told her, you know, she started crying. I said, Sue, that's the right way. I says, hey, even though I'm older in seniority, I says, that wasn't my job. I was a bundler, packing and shipping, box work and whatever. I says, that's not my job. It's yours. You've been there 5 years. And I just started, you know, on that. It was, you know, she had the room seniority right there.
Did that ever happen to men as well?
It could have. Yeah.
Were some jobs respected more than other jobs? Other than supervisor, of course.
Yeah, well, the office.
Really?
But us.
Ooh, tell me more about that.
But at the end, yeah. Oh, no. Well, when we had Christmas parties or whatever, that we were never invited with the office people. Oh, no.
Really?
You know, oh, no. They were big shots. But us were workers. Yeah. But we had good times. We had, you know, like Halloween, we used to dress up as witches and stuff. We'd go in the office. They'd laugh. But we didn't stay long, you know. We knew how, you know, like we had 10 minutes break or 15, 20 minutes break. So we only did it when, you know, it was on our time. You know, I mean,
right.
We couldn't go outside. We had to stay in the mill, you know. We had to go to the bathroom or whatever, you know. Yeah.
And so you only had 10 or 15 minute breaks?
Well, yeah. A while back, you know, we used to work... we had half an hour, let's say for lunch, you know, like 11 to 11:30, we had half an hour. So we could go out, you know, or whatever, and then we'd go back, or an hour, anyway. And half an hour, yeah. And we'd go back. And then they put it 8 hours, you know. But they give us 10 minutes at 9, and then 20 minutes at 11. And then at around 1 o'clock, I think, we had 10 more minutes. So we went to the bathroom or whatever we need to do. Yeah.
Do you think
because they can't make you work 8 hours straight.
Right.
You know what I mean? Well, some of the jobs, you know, that like in the weave room, you know, they have to be there all the time. You know, they have, when all their frame or warps or whatever, they're going good, then they sit and eat, you know, and they keep watching their work. Stuff. Yeah, because they don't have anybody to replace them. Yeah, because like at one time, we used to have to take our turn, and you know when you're about 10, 12 women that works in one section, right? One would say, sit there and sit there and sit there. Well, you know, it was 12 o'clock and the last people, you know, we were just starting to eat. So they took more than they should have, you know? Less for lunch, you know, when we eat. Oh, boy.
Did you find that you spent a lot of time outside of the mills with people that you worked with?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. We used to visit, you know, and stuff, or, you know, go dancing or whatever. Yeah. We'd go in somebody's house, like this lady, she passed away not too long ago. When she bought herself in Yahai's house there, we went. A bunch of girls that were working, you know, bundlers, you know. And so we went at her house and we bought her a gift and stuff. And, yeah. And Christmas time, well, we used to exchange gifts, you know, like $5 and something like that. And then we'd bring food, you know, one would bring this, one would bring that, we'd write everything down, you know. Some would buy only chips, that's it. They wouldn't make any food. But they were right there, though. Some wouldn't, the guys, some of them, they wouldn't bring anything, and they were right there, the first one at the table.
Well, it's the sun getting in my eyes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Were some jobs more sought after than other jobs? Like, was there a general hierarchy of, like, if somebody were just to walk into the mill, having worked there for a couple of years, if they used to, you know, just got to walk in again, is there a job that they would pick? Like, is there a job that everybody wanted?
No, some, you know, like, they put the job on the board, you know, and then they'd sign, you know, I'd like to have that job, whatever. So the one that had more seniority, they got it most of the time, you know.
Well, right, but were there any jobs that, or any rooms or any workstations that people, that were more sought after than others?
Well, not that much, really. They were kind of, you know, they're pretty fair. Where I, you know, were pretty fair. Just one supervisor gave me heck once. This lady, when I had my other son that I lost, I went back to work. And I was boxer. And they had sent me on second shift, you know, to work a while because they didn't, they wanted to, you know, they always tried to have two shifts in our department, which it never worked out. So when I came back from, you know, having my child, this lady, and I had to go back on second shift, this lady, she was younger than me, and she was doing my work. So I says, how come? I says, you didn't call me to tell me that I could come on first shift. He says, it's too late for you to talk. I says, okay, sir. I says, you better not do that again. There was a supervisor. So, you know.
Oh, so he didn't tell you that you could come in for
first shift? Yeah, for first shift. So I noticed that. I says, how come Florence is working on my job and I have to work on second shift? She don't like second shift. Oh, I says, that's too bad. And he says, it's too late for you to talk. I said, oh boy. I says, you won't catch me doing that anymore, buddy. That was the only time.
So people,
I guess they, you know, they if they see that, you know, you like to work and you do, you know, you try to help them out, you know, when they're stuck, they want this ration, this and that. I always try to be there, you know, to help them out. But some, they take advantage of you, like he did that time there.
So did people prefer first shift to second shift?
Oh, definitely, most of them, yeah.
So what times were those?
We used to start at 7 till 3.
That was on the first shift?
That's first shift, and then from 3 to 11. But when I work on second shift, though, we had half an hour for lunch, you know, so we had lunch around 7 to 7:30, so we could go out, you know, they had a little restaurant around, so we used to go and have a bite to eat and stuff, yeah. They had all kinds of nice restaurants. It wasn't expensive. You'd pay a dollar or $2, that's it, a dollar and a half, whatever.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
And then eat there for how long?
Yeah, we were there. And then this restaurant, it's a beauty parlor now. It's right on Ash Street. There's some steps there when you go on Canal Street. There's a beauty parlor, but it used to be a little restaurant. And we used to go there for lunch, every, you know, half an hour. And he knew who liked this and who liked that. And we'd sit in the same booth all the time. And so he'd serve us almost as soon as we got in there. Boop, 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 all the food was on the table.
Now you say you pay like a dollar or two.
Yeah.
And then eat, like for a month, for a year, for? Like
no, we paid that for, just for our lunch.
Okay.
You know, just one day, you know, yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
How did men and women relate in the actual workspace? Because I know that you wouldn't be working very close to each other, but were like if you met somebody working there, is that something that the supervisors would frown on, encourage? Like, how did that sort of thing work?
When I was doing box work there, let's say, I used to put, they used to have a box, you know, it was solid, and we used to put our work on the box for the guy to pack. You know, they were bailers, they call them bailers. And they treat us right, you know, and everything. And some of those guys, you know, when they saw when we was pregnant and stuff, they'd try to push a truck for you, or they'd help you and stuff like that. They were really, really nice, you know, yeah. That's why I stayed there so long. You know, people would get along, you know, I mean, that's half of our battle. Just a few times, like I tell them. That's all I had, you know. Yeah, and then that boss there, he passed away not too long ago. And he was nice after that.
I imagine.
Mr. Boisvert, Greenwood.
and this was at the Bates Mill?
Yeah, he worked, yeah. He was there quite a few years, too. Then he went in the yard with the guys, you know. It was just guys there because they used to lift bales and they used to lift all kinds of heavy stuff, you know, so, yeah, he was a supervisor there.
No, one of the things that I've heard about in previous interviews is when electronics came in, and people started working over in electronics. Did you guys have any opinion of that sort of thing when it started?
No, or like different automatic stuff, or what you mean?
But also working, like, I know that there was a mill nearby that began to produce transistors and things like that. And some people went over there and started making what I heard was pretty good money. You know, looking at things under a microscope and connecting transistors and things like that. Did the people that worked in the Bates Mill at that time have any sort of opinion about people working in factories that produced electronics when that started?
Oh, well, there was like electrician or whatever. They had, they had different, you know, what they call that place. It was like electrician and pipers and, you know, all this stuff there. There were a certain place, you know, for them, you know. And then when we had breakdowns or like on the automatic sealer, they had wires like this, and that would heat up, you know. Then we'd have to ask the guy that was in, you know, charge of different women, you know, that used to work on those machines. They changed the wires and stuff like that. They were very nice, you know. If you talk decent to somebody, it's half of the battle, you know. Half of the battle.
I
used to get along with pretty much everybody, you know. They were nice, you know, that people, yeah.
Guess I wasn't very, very clear. When there were some factories that began to produce electronic products, did people in the Bates Mill have any opinion of that sort of thing when it started? Did they look down on it? Did they envy it? That sort of thing.
I don't think so.
Didn't really even not hear about it very much? What made you contact the museum in the first place to have your story told? I mean, I've asked you sort of the list of questions that I wanted to get through, but I'm curious what it is that you want to actually tell or show, in addition to the poster that you made.
Yeah, well, I've worked there for a long time, and I took pictures and stuff like that. So I don't know who, it was Rachel, the ones in charge of that, you know, that called me up and asked me if it would be all right to have somebody come over and talk with me about the mill and stuff, you know. So that's how come. To her, right?
Of course.
Yeah, because there's a lady, I think, that she'd be real nice to talk to and everything. And she worked at the mill quite a few years, and she used to be the steward in our department. Mm. And she talked on TV once, you know, when it was going down, and she said about, you know, the young people, it's too bad, you know, losing their job and stuff like that. Yeah, and then Terry, she just passed away there two, 3 weeks ago. She was nice. She could explain it, things better, probably. But that lady there, Jerry, what's the name of that lady there, Blay there? Lucille Blay. Lucille. She was good. She was right, you know, in the union, and she knows everything that was going on. They call her back, too. When I went back at 67 years old, she went back to work, too. She was a stitcher. She was good, real good.
But like I said, pretty much my list of questions. But do you have any favorite memories, any funny stories, anything that when you think back on it, you remember very fondly?
Yeah, like when we celebrated the 25th, you know, my 25th at the mill, this lady, she had 50 years in the mill, so she got sick a couple of weeks before that. So, and I went to pick her up at home. I call her up and I says, I'll give you a ride. I says, you can come to the bank. You know, they had a banquet. You know, it was at where they have that card shop now. Anyway, so I brought her over. Oh, she was so pleased. And she wanted to go back to the mill so badly. And she had a stroke, you know, and then she came better. And then she must have been close to 70, I guess. And she was a nice lady. Boy, she used to be a ticket supervisor. She never, never made a mistake. And some people, they didn't dare go ask her for a ticket because she was so immaculate. You know, her work and her tickets, you know, different colors, different style and size and this and that. She knew exactly, and everything was so neat, you know. And I needed a ticket. I think she forgot one. So I went to ask her. She says, okay, it's all right, she said. That was the first time, you know. She was a nice lady, yeah. Yeah, she used to. And anyway, she used to go there every night after work and wait for her. And she had a, you know, those mugs of beer? She used to drink it with a straw. And when we had our Christmas party, we used to go there and stick keynotes. And she had fine hair. She used to make herself two little braids and it would go up like this on her head, like this. I guess she liked me because I went to see her. She was at Montella Manor. Oh, I felt so bad for her. She was a nice lady. But she just didn't want to speak. She was stubborn, you know, she, after she had that stroke there, she just didn't want to speak. Oh, I was so sad. And then she had shown me, oh my God, she had a tumor on her belly button. It was big, almost like a grapefruit. And she made me touch her belly. I said, oh no, I said. And she was years and years and years she had that. Then finally, she was operated on. And that's after she had a stroke. It had to come out because it was strangling. It was strangling her inside, you know. Oh my God. She lived about a couple of years after that. She was a nice lady. We had fun with her. She was funny.
Well, is there anything else that you want to mention before we bring this to a close? Anything that sort of came to mind over the course of our conversation or anything like that?
No, I think it's fine. It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,